We interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
1037 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crow Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 1037 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
Happy Hump Day to you. And it is a Hump Day Wednesday, November 13 edition of Bumper to Bumper Sports, only an hour long. So you know we got to bring it on 1037 The Game. Ben Love, the famous Clint D., and we want to get right down to brass tacks from inside the 237 Roof Studios, presented by Lafayette Roofing. College football playoff rankings. We'll continue to do our part. We're a cog in the machine. You want us talking about it? Yeah, we're going to talk about it. And eventually, we'll all just keep flooding the holes that keep popping up in the dam until we get rid of the dam. And we just have eight teams that are in this thing, or maybe even six. Four continues to feel like it's not the right number. Again, sometimes these things work themselves out by the time you get to the second week of December, but more times than not, we want more than what we've got. We got to the BCS title game. That wasn't enough. Now we've got this four-team system getting into the playoffs, and it just doesn't feel like that's going to be sufficient this year. Not at least with the week two batch of rankings that were fed to us last night. And I'll give you my brief takes. Happy to take your phone calls as well. Get them in quick today. 706-0111. Georgia at number four. It's exactly what I told you would happen. The Bulldogs got the early benefit of the doubt out of a whole smorgasbord of teams that frankly don't deserve to be number four, including Georgia. They've got that early benefit of the doubt, and you could absolutely argue that it's unfounded. Minnesota, a touch low for me at number eight. I would like to see the Golden Gophers, you know, with their actual quality win, not an okay quality loss. I'd like to see them row that Fleckin boat a little bit higher than number eight. Baylor at number 13, no respect whatsoever. There's your Rodney Dangerfield team that's out there right now, and I can't say I completely disagree. But then there's a grouping. I know that everybody wants to focus on Bama at five. The grouping I am going to choose to focus on, and then we'll take our first call of the day. Oregon 6, Utah 7. Talk to me all you want about strength of schedule. It's a big deal. It's a reason that, by and large, we discount Alabama outside of the SEC West. Lack of strength of schedule is part of the reason that we crush Clemson. It's a reason that we look at teams that don't schedule anybody with the pulse outside of the ones they have to play, and we thumb our nose at thee. But I told Hunt Palmer this yesterday. I'm going to repeat it to you today. Strength of conference is a pretty big deal to me. That's what's propping the SEC up as a team that's, let's just say it, likely to get two teams in. LSU, Bama, Georgia are all in the top five. The Pac-12 for me is laughably bad. Maybe not quite like the ACC, but there may be only one rung higher on the ladder. Why are Oregon and Utah getting the benefit of the doubt? Strength of conference should be a bigger deal. I don't see any strength in that conference. And so when Oregon has run through the Pac-12 after losing to Auburn, another quote-unquote quality loss, who's Oregon beaten that should give anybody a reason to think that the Ducks should quack, quack, quack their way into the playoffs? I don't see it. Can they get some of those wins and accumulate them over the next month? Sure. They haven't done it yet. That's my initial take on the week two college football playoff rankings. I've got some more thoughts that I'll roll out for you where there might be a gap. Certainly there's one between three and four, but where else there might be gaps in this thing that the selection committee sees. I'll unveil that momentarily, but we will take our first call today aboard the Ardco Equipment Hotline. Frank is with us. All right, Frank, you can stay if there's no Coach O voice.
Wow. Cut me off at the knees. Man, okay, well, I'll quit it then. Because I know Howard's listening. This is the only only question I'm going to shoot at you. And I'm going to shut up and listen after my question. Does Bama get back into the top four? Talk at you later.
You're the man. And it was too easy to get you a little off kilter there. Sorry about that, Frank. Had to shoot my shot. I saw the opportunity. Clint, there was about to be 3 days in a row of Kermit the Frog Coach O voice there from Frank. Just having a little fun with him. I absolutely think that there's an opportunity for Bama to get back into the top four. However, it's not going to happen unless one of the teams currently above them loses. Now, I'll tell you this as well. The way this thing's set up, nobody behind Bama is about to leapfrog them. Oregon and Utah aren't going to do anything over the next couple of weeks that are going to convince committee members, even the committee chair, who, yes, is the Oregon AD. Those teams in the Pac-12 aren't about to leap over Alabama. I'm not sure that Minnesota is at number eight for the foreseeable future. If Minnesota finds its way undefeated to Indy and beats undefeated Ohio State, yeah, Minnesota can leapfrog Bama, but we have about a month until that's possible. If we're just talking about a 2 to 3 week jog, nobody from behind Bama is jumping Bama. You would have to have an Ohio State, Clemson, or Georgia loss. The most likely of that grouping, I would guess, is Georgia. If Georgia loses to Auburn, then yes, you could have Bama in the top four before it takes on Auburn in the Iron Bowl to end its regular season. Frank, we appreciate the call. We got time for more as well. Hit me while you can. We're just in and out in a flash today. A one-hour edition of B2BS with LSU-VCU creeping up on us. Tip off at 5 o'clock. We'll take you to 5. I think that there is a gap between 3 and 4, Clemson and Georgia. I think the committee also sees a gap between 5 and 6, Bama, and let's just call it the Pac-12. So, Frank, maybe that answers your question a little bit too. There's no creepy feeling crawling up behind Bama. I think they've got a chance to move into the top four, but only if one of those teams loses. I'll continue to be steadfast about that. All right, we'll take a trip now to the Ardco Equipment Hotline. Craig, I've shown you my cards. What you got?
Well, let me ask you a question, Ben. Now, I'm not worried about Bama or any other team. I'm worried about LSU, okay? And my question to you is, honestly, I don't think any one of these next three games LSU's playing in the regular season, I don't think any one of those teams could beat LSU, okay? I think LSU's going to win all three of those games. But the game that they possibly could lose, obviously, would be the championship game against Georgia. My question to you is, if LSU was to lose that game, would they still be in the top four?
Yes.
I mean, unless they just get blown out by Georgia, which I don't think that would happen, but I guess that's my biggest concern as an LSU fan. We go through the whole season, LSU beats however many top 10 teams they've beaten, and they happen to lose one close game to Georgia. Do they still be in are they still in the top four?
Craig, definitively, yes. And we discussed that with Hunt and Palmer on the show yesterday. I'm going to run some of that back for you, but it's a good question. Thanks for the call, Craig.
Okay.
Definitively, yes. As in, I won't be sweating, and I don't think you should be. In early December either, yes. Again, we discussed it with Hunt yesterday, and Hunt's context is, Ben, this would never happen, but LSU would probably be to its advantage if it threw that game against Georgia. I agree with him. They're never going to do that. It's never going to come top down from Scott Woodward, Ed Ogeron. You're not walking in and sitting down Joey Heisman and saying, you know, Burbank Joe, we're just going to have you throw this one. I think that dude would throw you into a car windshield. No, they're all too competitive. They're not going to do that. Now, what would be boss is just a forfeit. I told somebody that earlier today. Again, this won't happen either, but while we're having fun and it's Sports Talk Radio, maybe the most boss move of all time would be to forfeit the SEC championship game. Probably has never happened in the history of intercollegiate athletics. So, final score, Georgia 2, LSU nothing, and we'll see you in the national semifinals. There's not a doubt in my mind that 12-1 LSU with the loss to Georgia, and 2-0 would be pretty close, by the way. Pound the under in that game. 12-1 LSU is going to the college football playoffs. Not a doubt in my mind. And so, for me, while it would be advantageous, we all know that's not going to happen. Because not only are these guys competitive, there would be some history at stake too. this LSU football team rightly believes it could be the best to ever come through the turnstiles. And if they go 15-0, we might start talking about them as one of the best of all time. Again, cart ahead of the horse, I get it. LSU's 9-0, that's six games away. I'm not going to project that far. But that type of possibility is out there. And so for me, Craig, the answer to your question is yes. I think an LSU team, especially one that loses a close game to Georgia, is still in. And the Pac-12 is just going to have to deal with it because they're going to be the odd man out. As far as the Big 12 is concerned, the only real case they'd have is if you're looking at 13-0 Baylor, who beats Oklahoma in the Big 12 title game. Then they'd have to at least be in the conversation. But right now, you can see they're not. The selection committee has no respect for them. They're at 13 and they're undefeated. So I think the Big 12 is probably already on the outside looking in. The question becomes, to your point, Craig, does one loss LSU that only falls to Georgia stave off Bama? Yep, beat them head-to-head in their place. And do they stave off the Pac-12? I absolutely think that will be the case. So just something to ponder. LSU right now probably can lose one of its next four games, including the one in Atlanta, and still get home. I think that is a distinct possibility. Now, having said that, I'll remind you of something else I said yesterday. If that line were scrapped together right now, if you were letting me play Vegas Ben, we used to have Clinty Vegas here in the house, but if you let me put my Vegas cap on, I think LSU is probably a 12.5 or 13-point favorite over Georgia right now in Atlanta. That's my guess. And so they would be heavily favored to win that ball game. But some good calls. Frank, you could do the Coach O voice next time you call. You've been taken off of the banished list. Only 1 hour today, I told you. And only one guest, in case you haven't heard some of our promos that have been running throughout the day, old friend of ours is going to hop aboard, Dave Schultz, at 4:30. You don't want to miss that. We're going to attempt something I've never done before on live radio. We're going to attempt to do an interview that is simultaneously live on my show and live on his show. That ought to be fun. Clint's mind is just racing right now with the tech possibilities there. I'm sure everything will go right, huh? Yeah, no doubt about that. I will ask the questions to Dave regarding LSU Bama. He'll turn it around and ask me some questions about UL and USA this weekend in Mobile. Going to have some fun with Dave Schultz at 4:30. Ha ha! And just like that, after a quick timeout, we're back in with more Bumper to Bumper Sports.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station, and you're listening to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game, live online at 103.7thegame.com. Follow on Facebook and Twitter now at 103.7 The Game.
Right back at it, and right back to some conversation about the college football playoff rankings. LSU still at the tip top. Everybody expected the top three. Tigers, The Ohio State University, Clemson. From there, I told you yesterday, I don't think anybody deserves to be number four right now. But I thought that Georgia would be put in that spot. They were. I also predicted Bama at five. My lucky streak ended because I had Minnesota at six. Undefeated Golden Gophers, they're going to have to sit behind a couple of one-loss Pac-12 teams in Oregon and Utah. So who got the raw deal? Who's maybe in a more favorable spot than they should be? And what else occurs to you about what we've most recently been fed with these rankings? 706-0111. We've got plenty of time to discuss. And in about 10 or 12 minutes, Dave Schultz hopping aboard, excited to talk with the Afternoon Drive host, WNSP Sports Radio, 105.5 in Mobile. We'll go LSU Bama post-op and go preview style for what should be a shellacking over in Mobile. Cajuns taking on South Al. So we got that coming up on the other side of our next break, and then we'll get you ready for number 23 LSU at VCU, 5 o'clock tip-off from Virginia Commonwealth University. But before we get there, CD, speaking of college basketball, it is now in existence in our lives, and I want to get to a game last night that some of our listeners just might have caught, and I think that they might have been caught off guard by it, and so I want to do that, but if you've got a call now and it's on college football playoff rankings, we'll take it, and you're doing the whole throat slash thing. So I'm going to take that to mean no. Either that or my life's endangered here in the 237 Roof Studios. I'll take that to mean no caller. Live radio's fun. So now let's go back to what I was doing. A reminder that no one throws shade outside your home or business like the pros at Patio Center. Go to the website, patiocenter.com. Check out the retractable shades and screens, the standing seam metal awnings, and the customized patio covers with the cypress accents. And know that that's just the tip of the iceberg. They can help you design almost anything you can imagine. And they'll put that together for you within a reasonable budget before this next spring and summer session. It's cold now. By the time it really heats up, you'll have the best patio game on your block. That dream becomes a reality when you go to patiocenter.com. They are the kings of customization, and it's never one size fits all for the licensed, insured, and bonded professionals at Patio Center.
It's time for Throwing Shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. Nobody throws shade outside your home or business like Patio Center. Visit the website at patiocenter.com.
You could probably see this one a mile away. But Kentucky, the number one Kentucky Wildcats on the college hardwood, after beating Michigan State, who was the preseason number one, the Wildcats stay with John Calipari, at least this time around, ain't going to last long. Kentucky can literally beat the best of the best, and apparently they can lose to one of the ultimate also-rans. Last night, Kentucky falls at home, Rupp Arena, to Evansville, 67-64. Of course, the icing on top, former Cat Walter. That's how I can imagine, at least, that Rick Pitino used to say it. Walter McCaddy, yeah, part of the 96 National Championship team. Many people believe, at least prior to the one-and-done era, among the absolute best college basketball teams that we've ever seen. All due respect to Lou Alcindor, Bill Walton and company. But this 96 Kentucky team was special. When you think back to some of the guys that were running with that group, Tony Delk, Antoine Walker, that was a very, very good team. And Walter McCarty, one of the key big men with that group. He now coaches at Evansville, and his team went into Rupp and pulled off a miracle, 67-64. So you got to throw shade at Kentucky basketball anytime you get an opportunity. Maybe more importantly, you got to throw shade at Kentucky basketball fans, which, of course, belong in the same grouping as Alabama football fans. They used to be fans of Michael Jordan. They gravitated to being Kobe fans, and they're currently LeBron fans. So for all of you front runners out there, take this and deal with it early in the college basketball season.
We're done throwing shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. For now, you want your life made in the shade? Visit PatioCenter.com and explore ways to improve life outside your home or business.
See now, Clint, while you're leaving me just keistering the wind out here, now you're going to explain yourself. That phone call you took was a special request.
Yeah.
I don't know if we're going to be able to honor it.
Well, I mean, it is Wednesday, so, I mean, obviously he wanted it to be very thematic towards our guy Dave. Ralph was on the line earlier, and he just wanted to drop that in. I was like, okay, we'll try and oblige.
A special hump day bumper request for Dave,
yes.
Schultz. What a weird time to be alive.
It is weird. Not gonna lie.
We'll see what
I was thrown off by that.
We'll see what we can do with that. But I'll tell you this, and I know you're greatly anticipating the next, say, 6 to 7 minutes of our lives, because our guy Schultz, he comes in from his break at 4:31. You and I are going to come back in somewhere between 4:32 and 33. So we'll intro our show separately. We'll go meat and potatoes together and talk with one another, and then we'll outro our show separately. What could go wrong? He's doing a show in Mobile. I'm doing one here in Acadiana. What could go wrong, he asked. Any number of things. But I do tell you this, it should be an awful lot of fun. I'm excited about that. And to touch one final time on the college football playoff rankings, because my gut tells me this will be the final couple of words I'll get in there before we're out today. Short show at 5 o'clock. I wouldn't get too concerned about Georgia at 4, because I've heard a lot of scuttlebutt there. They're going to take care of themselves. Georgia either wins out or they don't. What becomes more interesting is Georgia losing to Auburn. They'll still be in the college or the SEC title game. Georgia is in the same situation right now as LSU is. LSU's got a game in hand on Bama. They lose once in the next three, so still going to Atlanta. You can stay home, bro. I'm going to Atlanta. That's where Georgia is. They are a one-loss SEC team. And Florida, well, they've lost twice, as we know, LSU and Georgia. And so Florida, they're not going to overtake the Bulldogs at this point. So what happens if Georgia loses to Auburn and then beats LSU in Atlanta? Then it gets a little hairy. I still think that they're likely in, but the Bulldogs will play their way in or out. I honestly believe there's only one team in the country who's almost beyond reproach at this point, and it's LSU. So to Craig's earlier point and question, that's my temperature on the subject right now. I think LSU could lose any one of its next four games as long as it's not a deep pantsing and an embarrassment, and I'll see you in the college football playoff semifinals. Now, you drop a game, especially one where it's very unexpected. You lose by, say, 7 to 10 points. You just don't play up to your caliber. You could absolutely be the 3 or the 4 seed. I just don't know how much that stuff matters. Ultimately, you're going to get assigned geographically to the best of your potential, and then you're going to end up in New Orleans for the national championship game if you win your semi matchup. So just one way to look at it and think about it. All right, on the other side of this timeout, we'll see if Ralph gets his wish with the bumper music, and I can't wait to stack it up and have some fun with our guy Dave Schultz. That and more when we return with more Bumper to Bumper Sports.
One of them is famous in Cajun country. The other has a set of pipes that never quits. Seriously, we've tried before. Together, Ben and Clint bring you home on 103.7 The Game.
And apparently a Yacht Rock Wednesday edition of Bumper to Bumper Sports. Those are words that have never been said before. And let's see if we could do something we've never done before. Execute a simultaneous live interview. Our guest, the one and only, Dave Schultz, host of The Game Plan, 3 to 6 p.m., and that is on WNSP 105.5 in Mobile. Dave, welcome back to Lafayette and Acadiana, my man. How are you today?
Meanwhile, I don't think Tua's going to play. I think Tua's...
Yeah, that doesn't exactly sound like Dave Schultz talking to us. Clint, let's see if we can't get that where we want it. I want to talk LSU-Bama with Dave more than anything, and then see if we can't get back around to Cajun's South Al, a game in which UL is favored by 28 points this Saturday in Mobile. So we'll see if we can't get that bad boy lined up. That certainly is the Schultzy voice that we know and we love. Again, doing a little bit of air traffic control. That's what I get for giving him nearly a flawless intro and entrance into the segment. But let's see if we can't get our old friend Dave Schultz aboard. Again, over in Mobile these days, he's in a pretty darn similar situation as he was in Lafayette. From the standpoint, he is in the hub city of a Sun Belt conference team, and yet his group of stations carries Alabama Crimson Tide football. Again, we're here, home of the Raging Cajuns. 103.7 The Game carries LSU football and LSU athletics. So a similar experience for him. He's just kind of a little bit behind enemy lines, and sure hoping that we can get him on this side. He seemed to be going pretty good there. When talking about Tua and Alabama football, hey, we want him doing the same thing. We just want him talking on our side with that. But right now, Clint, any update that you could share with me? And that would be a no. Man, I had high hopes for this. I was excited we can get this thing to work. I've been doing the Schultz fake laugh just about all day, brother. So we'll see if we can't line that thing up, and want to bring him to you. If we can't, quickly we'll abort mission and start to move on. Got plenty of big things happening this week. LSU Ole Miss in the hamper this Saturday night. Cajuns, as we mentioned, at South Al. And the Saints ready for an opportunity to get back on the horse and trying to find a way back into the win column. Again, all of this today before we send you to VCU at straight up 5 o'clock for a little bit of Will Wade against his former team. Now I believe we're going to bring on Dave Schultz, host of The Game Plan over in Mobile, Alabama. Dave, are you with me, brother?
Smoothing out the edges.
All right, he's ready.
All right, let's go. Ben Love, are you there?
Hey, Dave, I can hear you. You got me, brother.
I got you, man.
I think we're setting a little bit of a high bar here with our tech standards, but we're going to pull this thing off. Hey, I want to ask you a few on LSU-Bama. More surprising, the way LSU got out to its lead, how high it climbed in the first half or how much it seemed to almost come tumbling down quickly in the second half?
I guess I was more surprised at the adjustments that Alabama made. LSU got shut out in the third quarter. We had spoken about the week of that this game could have spiraled out of control, but we thought it would go the other way, that Alabama would score first, stop LSU, Alabama scores again, then a turnover, and then all of a sudden it's like 21-0, and there's like 2 minutes to go in the first quarter. It almost went completely the other way like that. LSU getting out to a quick 10-0 lead with a couple of fumbles. And if it wasn't for a couple of Alabama stops, it could have been 21-0. So they did a good job to stay in the ball game, and then it did spiral out of the game right before the half.
Dave, as you would imagine, in this neck of the woods, nobody wants to hear about Tua being less than 100%. But I'll get your opinion. You study that team now. You cover Alabama football. How much did his ankle and that injury affect the way he played and the way that Alabama called plays for him?
Yeah, I know no one wants to hear it, but that's different. To me, that's different than an excuse or a reason. He was banged up. He was really banged up. And that's why I was even more impressed with what he did with the fourth quarter comeback. And his throw to Najee Harris in the front of the end zone. Great pass. Harris is covered by Queen. He's completely covered, and he makes that catch. The throw to Judy that's dropped in the end zone. He threw a touchdown in the fourth quarter in the front of the other side of the end zone. And he's so accurate, but I do think he was banged up. I'm going to be surprised, and I said this today, I'll be surprised if Tua actually plays the next couple of weeks. I think he's going to sit out against Mississippi State. There's absolutely no reason for him to play against Western Carolina. 2 weeks of strict rehab, he can rest his shoulder and arm, and then get ready and practice for the Auburn game, because I think from what people were telling me is that you could see it. Danielson said it, and I got Scott Hunter, former Alabama quarterback, on with me on Tuesdays talking football with Tracy Turner. You know, he had practice, and there's a big difference between throwing on the side and live practice and a live game. And you could see, too, at least at the beginning, took a little bit of time for him to get going.
Schultz, he handicapped the Tide's chances of getting into the Final Four.
Oh, they're getting in right now. 11-1, and if this plays out, which means LSU and Georgia meet in the SEC championship game and LSU wins, Bama's going to get in. I don't necessarily think they should, but we've both seen this story before. We've both seen this movie before. They're going to get in. There's no reason that Alabama should be fifth after what we saw the other night. I'm not saying they should be 25th or something like that. But, maybe you can explain to me, Ben, why some teams like Ohio State, Clemson, Bama get the eye test, whereas Minnesota and Baylor were going on their resume. It seems interesting that some get the eye test. Auburn's got the eye test. They have two losses, and they're ahead of undefeated Baylor. I don't get it.
My least favorite part of the college football playoffs is now we start talking about quality losses. I cannot stand that. And so Bama propped up now by a quality loss. I guess they passed the eye test. I'll put this to you and get your two cents. There is one surefire way that Bama doesn't make the college football playoffs, and that's if 11-1 Georgia beats 12-0 LSU because both of them get in tied or out. Agree or disagree?
I agree with that. That's probably what that's the way that two SEC teams could get in, right there. Or I guess if LSU, like we said, wins out, Bama's going to get in. And just to let my producer Root go, Root, no, we do have an UGA grad here. He's Georgia through and through.
Yeah, I'm not going to give you the whole fight song, but I appreciate you bringing that up, Schultzy. Why don't we flip the table here? Give me some South Al UL questions, my man.
I thought it was flip the script or crossing the basin. Which one is it?
They're both trademarked, and you owe me money for either.
Yes, I do. Don't tell Shea or Moscona. All right, you tell us about the play of Levi Lewis, because he's taken his game at least last weekend to a new level, and if you have to deal with that and those running backs, it's tough to stop.
And I'm not sure that teams will have to. For the most part, I observe a team, it's kind of like the Saints once Drew Brees went out. I think that the defense, the special teams, the run game with Latavius Murray, I think that they carried the load and made things pretty manageable for Teddy Bridgewater. That said, Teddy Two Gloves stepped up in a couple games where they needed them. The Bucs game kind of leaps to mind. I see it the same way with Levi Lewis. Arguably the best ground game in the group of five. The defense under Ron Roberts and UL has been just leaps and bounds better. They've been able to somewhat hide the quarterback this year, but there was nothing hidden about him in that last game on Thursday night. You're absolutely right. But I think that's a bit of the exception, not the rule. This team's going to keep winning games on the ground and with defense. It's nice to see him take strides forward. If they decided to run him more intentionally, Dave, he could be one of the best dual-threat quarterbacks in the Sun Belt. But I don't think they want to risk injury. I don't think that Napier's ready for what could be behind door number two at quarterback.
Yeah, we're talking with Ben Love, host of Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game back in Lafayette. Let's talk about it. It is interesting. I get a little bit frustrated watching him. It almost seems as though, and maybe this is the other team trying to load up the box, it almost seems like Coach Napier is trying to open up the run with the pass. Many times they start ball games, and they did it against App State not very effectively. They try to set the tone with Levi Lewis in the passing game instead of trying to set the tone behind that awesome offensive line and the running back.
I completely agree, and I think it's because everybody in the building knows what's coming. And you know what's interesting to me? Trey Regis coming into the season was my preferred back of this group, but Elijah Mitchell has shown that he's an absolute Power 5 caliber player. And so what I think they do, to your point, Dave, is they set it up with the short passing game, they build some confidence in Levi Lewis, and then they start to really pound you early in the game with Elijah Mitchell, the speedster, and Raymond Calais. More often than not, the finisher is Trey Regis, a physical back who had some opportunities coming out of New Orleans to play some Power 5 football himself. So I think you're absolutely right, and I think this team does a good bit of self-scouting with Billy Napier and Rob Sale, and they're just trying to build to a point where they can do that again against App State, and, yeah, that would be ranked App State again.
All right, a couple of guys anchor that right side of the line for the Cajuns. Robert Hunt, he is the only one, I don't know if you know this, he's the only one out of the 81 invitees to the Senior Bowl that the Senior Bowl did not see him live. Only based on tape, Robert Hunt got the invitation, has accepted the invitation. Is he healthy for this weekend's ballgame?
That's a good question. We're not getting definitive answers on that, but to your earlier point, I just have to say this. When your reputation precedes itself to the point where they don't even need a visual on you, it's just understood that you're arguably the most important cog in an offensive line leading this rushing attack, he deserves everything that's coming his way. But I think that, understandably, there might be a push toward letting him rest in this one. 28-point favorites, the Cajuns at South Owl. So I think this one would be an opportunity to get him right before a home stretch against Troy and a rivalry game against ULM.
All right, let's wrap it up here with Ben Love, host of Bumper to Bumper Sports, 4 to 7 p.m. Although, are you really working an hour today?
Yeah. Absolutely. LSU-VCU, so it's just stealing money here as I dump the last 2 hours.
You really could have just done a half-hour show, right? Because the pregame, you're just bumping the pregame show.
And I'm having you on, which means I get to ask like three questions, just pull the string in the back, and you talk for 20 minutes.
That's right. All right, let's wrap it up. Arkansas not helping the case. South Carolina wasn't helping the case, but they say Muschamp is back. Obviously, an opening at Florida State. The more he wins and the more impressively he wins, one Billy Napier is going to get on this list, on these lists for these openings. Any concern there in South Central Louisiana that this may be it for Napier based on the success that he's had with the Cajuns over a couple of seasons?
Well, there's absolutely concern, and that's why they extended him during the first bye week, right? I mean, early October, they saw a need to get this done after back-to-back wins at Ohio, at Georgia Southern. But saying that you're getting an extension done and keeping him in town are two very different things. My gut tells me, Dave, no inside info here, I think that he'll be back for 2020. After that, if he proves that he's doing this on a consistent basis, then all of a sudden he might have an opportunity at something bigger and better than Arkansas. He'll have that type of trajectory. So for me, I think there's concern, but this is what you want. It wasn't bad that Arkansas State lost Gus Malzahn and coaches back to back to back. It's not been bad that App State lost Scott Satterfield. That's the position you want to be in. Get a rising star on his way up. So I don't think it'll happen this offseason. The one after could be a big, big question. Now, his assistants and coordinators, by the way, brother, might be a different story.
Yeah, a lot of guys are expected back. Joe Dillon on the defense playing for the first time in a couple of years. Two of the three running backs should be back. A lot of the offensive line will be back, and Levi Lewis will be back. I guess a couple of the running backs may get drafted, but we'll see if they decide to leave early. Always a pleasure, my friend. Give my best to the missus, and, you know, you better take care of the famous Clint D.
Hey, it's always a pleasure to have you on my show, and I'm glad that I was able to be on yours as well. Dave, a lot of people blowing up my phone. This was a treat. Thanks for doing this for Acadiana.
Thanks, Ben.
There you go. Dave Schultz. WNSP Sports Radio 105.5. And yes, my phone has been blowing up pretty steadily for the last 10 minutes. Got to be honest, Clint. I wasn't sure we were going to get that one done from a tech standpoint. And trying to stop Dave from talking in the middle of Dave talking is a little bit like stopping peeing once you've already begun there. So when you're in midstream, you know the drill. When Dave is in midstream, duck and cover. I'm going to come back in, let you respond to that, and we'll get you ready for LSU, VCU, and we'll be done with the potty humor. I don't want to promise that. We might be done with the potty humor. And after this timeout, I do guarantee you'll have more Bumper to Bumper Sports.
This show won't protect your quarterback or cover downfield, but it's got animal control down pat.
Oh, if you see a possum, try to kill it, okay? It's not a pet.
Back to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
Life is funny, dude. Welcome back in. A little more Bumper to Bumper Sports. We'll have LSU VCU basketball in 10 minutes. CD, life is funny. And I have gotten more text over the last 15 minutes. Let's see here. There's probably been another event since I got married in late 17. Probably since, you know, I'm going to include you here, since you and I won the award for best sports radio show in the state of Louisiana. A lot of texts came flooding in at that point. I would say that this is, a close second to that over the last, 9 or 10 months. People wanted to hear that guy. And so glad that we did that. We'll see if we can't make that a little more regular thing. And Clint, I know you've been searching feverishly for Dave Schultz laugh. Don't tell me that we expunged that completely from your system over there.
We're trying to, I'm digging through. We moved some.
No, not deleted.
Not deleted. We're still searching for it.
Gone but not forgotten. That's what you're going to feed me here.
Like Alan Michael.
No man left behind. How many different phrases can I throw out that might describe the way that you have 86 the Dave Schultz laugh? Unbelievable.
In the words of Shaggy, it wasn't me.
I didn't like that.
I figured that.
That's all I have to say to that is I didn't like that. But we'll take your calls. You can react to that. 706-0111. Again, coming up on the other side, LSU, VCU, and there's going to be a whole lot of contempt tonight in the Commonwealth. Not Kentucky, the Virginia Commonwealth. A lot of signs that are already up in that stadium telling Will to G-E-A-U-X home, telling him the FBI wiretap is coming. These folk don't remember Wade well. And the prevailing thought, at least from that side of the ledger, is that Wade didn't leave VCU in the same position he inherited it from Shaka Smart. Accusations that the team found out about him leaving for LSU via social media. So, yeah, there's going to be some contempt in this one. Not a doubt about it. All right, you're giving me the thumbs up over there. You finally ready to rock?
Yeah, we finally found it. It took a while to kind of – I didn't remember which folder it was in because there's so many damn folders.
So out from under a rock, you dug out this. How hard was that? It's like two syllables of a lot.
It was way harder than you think. All the stuff that we've got like lying around, moved around umpteen times.
You're still talking, which is prohibiting me from making the Steve Carell joke, right? That's what she said. It was too hard to find, and then there you go. Thank you. Look, at least Dave appreciates my humor. Even all the way over in Mobile, Alabama, he still gets me. And Dave, we get you. So that was a lot of fun. Again, we'll see if we can't bring that back. But I was talking a little LSU, VCU. Tigers ranked 23rd in the country, and yet still 2.5-point underdogs in this ball game. VCU has become a markedly improved defensive club from two seasons ago. So Will Wade left that program, certainly not in shambles. I mean, really good talent. But they've been trying to climb back up to the level they were at, especially when Shaka Smart, now at Texas, had that thing really, really rocking. So the first big test early in this 2019-2020 season for Wade and LSU basketball. And I think when you look at it, again, the rankings, you know, that can only tell you so much. We look kind of inside of really the X's and O's, and there has to be a realization that the Tigers, I think, in a game like this, are going to be at least one man down. Clint, you got to help me out here. I know that LSU is expected to be without one of their big guns tonight. Oh, God, you got to help me here. I don't know that it's help me out, brother. Is it Marlon Taylor? There's somebody who would usually be in that rotation tonight who's going to be out, and sure enough, just flew right over, or I guess you would say under, the radar for yours truly. But I know the Tigers are going to be without a key cog tonight going to play at VCU. And you're still doing some frantic searching. Trust me, you search on Jeff Goodman's Twitter long enough, you will find it. But Tigers, true road test tonight. Again, this isn't like playing one of those neutral site games. Last year, LSU took on St. Mary's over in Vegas. This one will be a little bit different. They're going to go right into the belly of the beast. They're going to be taking on a team who has nothing but ill will toward a former head coach, and they will be doing it at least one man down. I can promise you that. And now I just feel like I've completely let down the LSU basketball crowd. Unbelievable. Used to be that this was what I hung my hat on. So, Clint, time has come and gone. I can't even tell you who's in and out right now of the starting lineup due to injury, but at some point, trust me, you'll hear from Chris Blair and company, and you'll find out sooner than later, and there you have it. But now I got to get to one final word in this hour before time expires.
What's up, Acadiana? I'm Gabe Broussard from Strange Theories and Season 11 of The Boys. It's almost 5 o'clock. Now it's time for the final word of the hour, and it's presented to you by me and my family at the Village Station. We are your final stop to fill up your stomach and your tank when you're heading home on Maurice Avenue. Now, here's Ben. His voice is pretty nice, but I don't think he could ever make two chairs turn.
Uncertainty, and it just abounds, frankly. When you look at the college football playoff rankings, uncertainty everywhere. I think on the part of everybody just about but LSU. Ohio State with a loss at any point between now and even through the conference championship game, I think that the Buckeyes might play their way out. Clemson, I think with the loss, again, anywhere, ditto. As far as Georgia's concerned, it's going to be tough if Georgia loses between now and the first weekend in December. We can go up and down. There's uncertainty just about everywhere. LSU right now is on solid ground. And really, I think the only team that could say that and honestly feel that way. So uncertainty is the final word of this hour, and it's really not something that afflicts LSU Tiger fans. That final word is brought to you by the Village Station. They are your final stop to fill the stomach and tank as you head home on Maurice Avenue. What a helter-skelter, hopefully fun for you, hour of radio today. We went from 4 to 5. We talked college football playoff rankings. We threw a little shade at Kentucky basketball. A visit after a false start from our good friend Dave Schultz. And then we come down the stretch getting you ready for LSU-VCU basketball. And that is coming at you next. This has been Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
Live from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette. This is KM.